Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with V about these bankers and this very mysterious story of why they're dying, killing themselves, or something worse. Who knows? We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. V is with us. We'll take your calls in just a second as well. Well, V, so we can assume something very strange is going on with these bankers. Now, if we get a rash of more of these deaths, then what do we conclude?
Well, we conclude what we already have really established here. It's definitely a clean house operation. Any more guys that pop off that are publicized will definitely just cement that fact all the more. Like I said earlier in the broadcast, my sources have indicated there are so far 20 dead and counting. I'm just trying to get all the data on that, and you know, but that's from what my sources said, and I mean, these guys are never wrong.
No, they're never wrong at all. In all your life of looking at these strange stories, V, how would you categorize this one? One of the top?
This is probably the harbinger of one of the biggest events that's going to befall everybody here living in this country. We're in the midst of the greatest transition in economic history, and this has a lot to do with that. You know, there's a strong connection here that's undeniable.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go pick it up with Tom in Long Island, New York, to get things started here. Tom, go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, George, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, Tom. Thank you.
Listen, this is just a little bit off the topic, but this is a serious question, George. This is mainly for you. A couple weeks ago, I was actually on hold with you, and you made an announcement Coast to Coast is going in a new direction.
No. Let's talk about that on another day. We're talking about banksters right now, and we're not going in a new direction. Who said that? Let's go to DJ in Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the show. DJ, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hello, George. Thank you. I'm calling because we've heard from a number of past guests on Coast about the possible confiscation by the banking system of customer bank accounts in the U.S. in the event of another financial collapse, such as he is outlining. And we're considering transferring all of our money in bank accounts to brokerage accounts, assuming customer accounts and brokerages would not be confiscated, even the uninvested cash. I'm wondering, is that correct? And would some brokerage companies be more safe than others?
What do you think of that, V?
A great question. You're just moving from one fire into another inferno. There is not a single brokerage account in the United States that's safe, just like there's not a single one in the UK that's safe. And I'm going to flesh that out for you. In the UK, we came out with a concept that was called rehypothecation. And that simply means is that it is the melding of the commercial bank and the investment bank. So we can go on ahead and go to a commercial bank and take a segregated account that has nothing to do with the investment bank, and we can go out and gamble. And when we lose all the funds, that customer account becomes collateral for the loss. That's called rehypothecation. In the United States, the rehypothecation rules are pretty much exactly the same as it is in the UK, except for one little caveat. In the U.S., we can take up to 140% of the value of your account, okay? So it doesn't matter where. Now, in the economic collapse, what are we facing here? We're talking about a complete, you know, the bail-in, if you survive it. Let's just say you go to a credit union or a small local bank. If you survive that bail-in, because you're in paper and your paper happens to be denominated in dollars, your dollars are going to get eviscerated. Okay, and that's what we're facing here is the death of the dollar, as so many people put it. And that's something you want to get out of. You want to get out of paper. You're in paper, you're in trouble.
What about Bitcoins? I mean, Bitcoins, to me, I'd be scared to death right now to invest in Bitcoins, V. What about you?
Well, I'm not invested in Bitcoin. I see the value in Bitcoin and alternate forms of currency. These are symptomatic because people are rising up and they're starting to see, hey, you know what? We want to find a better way to do and conduct business or trade. Bitcoin, I think it's a great concept for people who want to, let's say, buy a good and keep it as anonymously as possible. But in terms of an investment right now, I mean, what do you value Bitcoin in? I mean, I can't put a proper valuation on Bitcoin. It's impossible. And I think there's, the price is way too high. And you see this erratic behavior within Bitcoin is because the major driver is the market is just trying to figure out what the heck to do with it. How do you value something like that? As a means of exchange, it's fine. It's some sort of, you know, if you're looking at it as some sort of an investment, I'd stay clear. I think it's just too volatile.
Well, you know, though, too, V, here's the other issue. You know, the banking system, whether we like it or not, is the system of the day right now. And I think if you're going to exist, don't you have to play along and do your thing with it? You've got to have a little checking account. You've got to do what you have to do.
Absolutely. In order for you to transact in this world, in this country, you're going to have a bank account. I have a bank account. My bank account's there. It exists simply for the day-to-day expenses. I got to pay my bills. I got to pay my, you know, my expenses. I have money to do that. But in terms of securing my wealth and preserving my wealth, I don't do anything in paper anymore. The world global economy right now, it's just too volatile. And it's just a market that I can't play in. How can I play in a market when I can't even evaluate what a single stock is doing because of the Fed manipulation? Look at the Dow, overvalued 67%. S&P, overvalued 34%. NASDAQ, overvalued 30%. These are not markets that you want to go play in.
Okay, next up, let's go to Jeff in Ferguson, Missouri, our old buddy. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Long time.
Good. Good, my friend.
I got a question for V. It's actually kind of a two-part question. One, have you heard of the microbiologist that's over the last two decades that Steve Quayle and George Noy talked about? Could there be a possible connection with the bankers? Also, could they have known something like a war's coming and they didn't want to witness it or be part of it and actually did take their own lives? And I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, there is a big question over how they died in terms of motive. Motive. What happened?
In terms of these guys knowing anything with microbiology, the answer, I'd say is no.
Now, that's probably a separate, strange conspiracy.
Yeah, that's a whole other ballgame. That's number one. Number two, did these guys take their own life? Now, why would these guys who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in a bank, some of them are worth, you know, close to, you know, a little over $1 million, you know, good lives, stable families. There's no reason for any of these guys to kill themselves.
Next up, let's go to Cornelius in Newport Beach, California. Cornelius, thanks for calling.
How you doing, George? I love your show, and I love all your topics, but I had to call in tonight because I feel that although some of them very entertaining, those of us who are in the industry and all of my colleagues know this to be fact, what's going on in our financial system right now. And in terms of anonymity, Cornelius is a nod to Fight Club, because this is going to level the playing field or redefine our economic system, and the world economics is going to redefine what a scam could be and whether that's just humanity, in my opinion.
Well, what do you think's going on, Cornelius? What do you think's happening with these people?
You know, it's it's too complicated to answer like that. It is trying to basically secure what you have and keep doing what you're doing to make money, but it's very tough to secure any of it, because whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's gold, anything that you invest in is going to be affected by what's going to happen.
I think you're right about that. There's no question about that. V, this one could be even bigger than we think. You know that.
Oh, this is massive. We're staring at a monster. Absolutely. And all the guys that are on the inside, I mean, we all feel it. We could sense it. It's in our gut. I mean, our stomach turns when we look at this. I mean, the hard data, George, the hard data, it's sickening, man. It's absolutely sickening.
The folks at J.P. Morgan have got to be talking to themselves every morning. They probably got to say, who's next?
without a doubt, and from my sources and my contacts that are in the morgue, as we call JP Morgan is the morgue, that's the general feeling. Is these things are very, you know, they're raising a lot of eyebrows here, and a couple of hearts are beating a little faster than normal, George.
Yeah, you got that right. Colleen is in San Diego, California. First time caller. Good morning, Colleen. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
B, I'm in the financial services industry as well, just basically, you know, the advisor on the street. And everybody is just making believe like everything is just fine. And it's my understanding, if I'm correct, that China stopped buying our bonds or giving us any money, you know, almost 2 years ago, which means that we're just printing money every day against nothing. We haven't been, our representatives haven't been in Fort Knox since the 70s, so we don't even know it's there. I'm of the train of thought that it's a huge, huge, false, inflated dollar. And I've advised my clients to really, if they can get a good safe and get it underground under their house or something, to put whatever they can in there to change on a daily basis for the crash, as well as get some gold or silver coins, and even, you know, get some commodities like that you might have to trade, like alcohol or things of that sort. Because I really believe that when it goes, it's going to be a massive crash. And it's going to be a matter of just trying to get items from day to day for the average family on the street. Now, do you think I'm on the right track, or do you think I'm way out of line?
Colleen, God bless you for being out there, doing what you're doing, and having the absolute 100% correct mindset. You nailed it. This is exactly what's going on. You're on the right track, and I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because you are getting people out of harm's way, and that is a far cry from what you see the majority of people within the industry are doing. Everybody's saying, hey, let's party like it's 1999. Look, the market's up, but we don't look at the fundamentals of why the market is up, and we are headed for an absolute rude awakening. And that day's coming very quickly.
Fred is in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the program, Fred. Let's get your comments.
George, fellow Detroiter.
Hey, Fred, thanks.
Is this the end of the Anglo-American dual world power?
I don't think so. I don't think so. V, do you?
Do I think it's the end of the Anglo-American power? Yeah, I think so.
You do.
Banking, we're done. Let's look at the hard facts here. You know, I briefly mentioned the energy deal between the Russians and the Chinese. I mentioned about the Iranian deal, and I mentioned also about the Turkish-Indian deal. I mentioned also about the 24 largest economies in the world already setting up swaps outside of the dollar. I told you the last time we were on with the September 23rd event where the U.S. got kicked out of Syria by the Russians and the Chinese. And all we're doing right now is fighting some proxy wars using some other, various different front groups in Syria, as well as the Ukraine and Venezuela and other parts of the world. But as a whole, financially, we're getting the can kicked out of us. And so the most important thing, you got to understand, the hallmark of the Anglo-American banking structure, or the American banking structure, as we would say, the hallmark is paper. We have an obsession with paper. And paper is necessary in order to commit the fraud. And your Ponzi scheme, and we are a Ponzi scheme, your Ponzi scheme is only as good as the confidence that it induces into the investor. As long as the investor has some sort of a confidence in this Ponzi scheme, your Ponzi scheme works. But what's happening today? What's happening with the Forex market, where you have an executive from the Forex market saying, you know what, we're happy to see currency swaps set up between the European Union and China. It's great because it gets to bypass the dollar because the dollar is volatile. You know, the days of saying that the dollar is as good as gold are over. You're seeing the words dollar and volatility. You're seeing the word dollar and devaluation. Those are the two synonyms that are coming up these days when you're doing any sort of search for the dollar. So we've had the blessings and the enjoyment of and the benefits of exporting our inflation because we're a world reserve currency and you can't buy food or buy oil without using the dollar. That day is coming very quickly to an end. And that's that hallmark, the ending of that, is going to cause the end of the American empire and the end of the Anglo-American banking structure. Now, here's another kicker for you guys. All over the United States, and you're, you know, especially in Detroit, you have the Chinese buying up idle manufacturing.
Oh, they're buying everything.
They're buying everything. In New York, 2 hours from where I live, upstate New York, you got Sullivan County. The Chinese have put a huge industrial zone over there. In Idaho, a huge industrial zone. Idle manufacturing being scooped up in Ohio, in Pittsburgh. Well, what's going on here?
While they are slowly selling it, the U.S. debt, the Chinese, we are dumping out of our debt, and they're buying hard assets now.
Exactly. And when this global reset does occur, when this realignment that we're all waiting for happens, you're going to see a 70 to 80% devaluation of the dollar. So what happens to all those factories and all those industrial zones? Well, guess what, George? When this devaluation happens, Americans will be one of the lowest priced wage or worker wages in the world, one of the lowest priced. Americans will be making Nike tennis shoes in those factories in Detroit for the Chinese in the new American sweatshops. That's where it's headed.
Well, you may be right. Now, let's bring this back to these dead bankers again and what might be happening with these individuals. You truly believe that they are being bumped off as opposed to suicide?
Absolutely. It's a statistical impossibility that these many men, all connected in the same industry, will be dropping dead in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks.
We need to get to the family members of these dead people, these dead bankers, who would probably say, he was happy, he was fine, or something. Something's going on there. I'd love to get the reaction of a family member who would say he was distraught, he talked about killing himself. I'm not sure we're going to be able to find that.
No, and I think if somebody leaked some information about McGee's girlfriend, Gabriel McGee, over in the UK. She was like, oh, he's a happy guy, everything was fine, no inclination of doing anything like that. Same thing with Duker's family. There's some leaks coming out that Duker was happy-go-lucky. There was no problem. And, we could find the same thing with Crane. Crane had a great life, no problems. Nobody even thought of this. These are mysterious circumstances, mysterious deaths. It's undeniable. What's happening.
V, if people want to track what you're doing, your website roguemoney.net, is that the best way to get a hold of you if they need to email you?
If people want to get a front row seat of what's going on financially and globally, roguemoney.net is the site to be. It's a membership-only site. The best part is it's only $2.99 per month. And that gives you front row seats. You can contact me directly over there, or you can contact me on my email. That's gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. That's gorilla spelled G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A. That's the gorilla as in freedom fighter. gorillaeconomist@gmail.com.
All right, V, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with you as we're talking about the banksters. Many of them have died under very, very strange circumstances. I'm George Norrie. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. Hey, have you seen our program yet? Beyond Belief. It is truly beyond belief. It's a neat little television show based on the internet, so simply go to this website and look at it for 10 days free. www.beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast with our special guest V this hour and your phone calls as we talk about this bizarre story of bankers who have died. I guess I can't say kill themselves, but who have died under very strange and mysterious circumstances. And V, this seems like it's happening almost every other day, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems like that. And I think as the system starts coming apart, and it's going to be harder and harder for these guys to not publish the deaths of these individuals. Also, I've heard, I don't know if this is correlated, I'm still looking into it, but I think in California, I don't know, but I think it was in California or somewhere. We had another banker death. This gentleman was involved with a bank, and he was head of the fraud department. So I'm still trying to verify that. It's pretty much hot off the press. So, yeah, I think, you know, as we begin to implode, you will see this as more and more of an occurrence. They're going to try their best to keep these deaths off the limelight. And as you can see, they're quickly ruled suicide. And look at Gabriel McGee's death when he was thrown off the 33rd floor. There was very quickly scripted stories, you know, and I and the so-called witnesses that, you know, that they give their testimony, and that quickly came apart, especially when I later found out that nobody really saw the guy jump because he was working nights, and that body was on that floor for at least a few hours before anybody actually saw it. So there's a lot of things on the background, George, that, you know, they're not letting out.
When did you start when did you start putting the pieces together?
Almost immediately. You know, I predicted this back in November the 20th. I said, you know, I have word that they're going to start cleaning house soon because, you know, it's getting close to the end of this whole system. And then also on January the 10th, I've basically made it public as well that a clean house program will go into effect, because what people fail to realize is that at the top level, these multinational large investment banks and intelligence agencies, they're quite intermarried, George. They work hand in hand. You know, banks have hit teams that they have access to, and they use it. And these are, you know, basically hired guns, you know. So, you know, this is a very real world. I mean, this is not some realm where, you know, we're used to, you say the word banker, you think about some guy in a suit sitting behind a desk, and that's just on one level. But on the back end, these are some seriously sick individuals that play for keeps, and they want to win by any means necessary.
Well, they sure do. Okay, let's go back to the calls. We'll go to Holiday, Florida. Bob's with us on Coast to Coast. Bob, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I want to throw out a name you may be familiar with, Michael Hastings.
Michael Hastings was on our program and died about a month or so later.
He was working on, he told one of his friends he was working on the story of a lifetime when he was murdered.
That is so
true. He was murdered.
Well, Mercedes just don't blow up, that's for sure.
No, they're not. Not the way his did.
No.
And just my suspicion that your earlier caller, Colleen, if she's still listening, I have some advice also for her. If she, I know she, how reluctant she may be, but she needs to, if she doesn't already have access to firearms, she might consider getting one. A revolver would suffice. It'd be easy to maintain, easy to use. I don't know if she has small children, but especially if she does, she needs to have a way to protect herself and her children. Because if things get really bad, people are going to be looking for stuff, and they're going to, if you've got what they want, they're going to take it if they can.
Well, I agree with that. V, let me ask you this before we go to more calls. And, you know, these, our listeners are just spot on this. And I think a lot of people have been sensing something for a very long time. George Soros is betting $1.3 billion that things are going to crash. What's your gut telling you?
Well, you know, George Soros, I mean, this is the second big thing that he's done. And it's briefly mentioned and then, you know, it's forgotten about. And, you know, we move on to the next celebrity gossip. But prior to him, you know, putting a, you know, put option on the S&P 500 for $1.5 billion, this guy, just back in 2013, George, when I, last time I was on the program, I was just detailing, and here's a guy who's dumped 80% of his stock holdings in finance, in financial companies and in banks, 80%. You got Buffett, who cashed out of the market to the tune of $49 billion. So the smart money is leaving. You know, so they're, or they know, they smell blood in the water. They know what's coming. Soros, he didn't get to where he was because he made bad calls. He knows. And if George Soros knows, and he knows that the system is completely rigged with, you know, high frequency trading computers and, you know, all the advanced algorithms that runs through Wall Street on a daily basis, he knows the average investor doesn't have a chance. And that's what it is, George. That's what it comes down to.
Next up, let's go to west of the Rockies, John in Oceanside, California. Hi, John.
Yeah, hey, I got three things for you that I think your listeners will find interesting. First, all the major banks have already put limits on cash withdrawals. Second, in a bizarre move, only Chase Bank now is requiring photo identification to deposit cash. And finally, it's important to remember that FDIC insurance only protects your deposits in case of a bank failure. It's not going to protect your deposits if there's a cyber attack or if there is a tax imposed on your deposits or the so-called Cyprus bail-in.
What do you think of that one?
He absolutely nailed it. And folks, you got to understand this. This whole bail-in concept, okay, it was first beta tested in Cyprus, okay? And the worst of the world thought, it's just Cyprus, it's not going to be us. Wrong. That bail-in in Cyprus was part of the whole ESM deal, that the European stability mechanism that they created. Then we have the second incident while the world was fixated on Justin Bieber getting arrested. Okay. What happened was Poland swiped 50% of its pension funds. And now we had, going into January, the new year, we had Dodd-Frank. George, that's the biggest bill ever to pass Congress. We're talking 30,000 pages. That is way bigger than Obamacare on a much grander scale. And in Dodd-Frank, what do we see? Bail-ins. Okay, that's the main idea of Dodd-Frank, bail-ins. And those bail-ins are coming. And the caller hit the nail on the head. Those, you know, FDIC insurance does not protect you against a cyber attack. It doesn't protect your safe security boxes. It doesn't protect you against any of that. And most importantly, folks, because you are in paper, it doesn't protect you from hyperinflation and your currency going bye-bye in terms of its spending power.
One would say that we're all in this together, V, so if we take the hit, aren't we all going to get slapped together?
We're talking about globally between the U.S. Just and China and everybody else now?
U.S. primarily.
Well, in the U.S., some will be more better off than others, and that's the case usually in history. Let's look at Argentina. Let's look at the fact in 2001 we had a major economic collapse and a major currency devaluation in Argentina. What happened? Who was able to move throughout the country? Who were able to buy food and water and supplies? Who were able to leave the country? Those who were diversified outside of the system within Argentina, those who held at that time the dollar was still good. So, you know, you had some people that had dollars, but they didn't keep it in the bank because in 2001, you went to sleep with your dollars in your Argentinian bank. You wake up and now you have pesos. Okay. Huh. And those with precious metals. They were the only ones that were able to operate, and you had to have barter items as well. Those are the ones who operated. They were able to get what they needed, and they were able to leave. And that's going to be the same key again. You see history repeating itself over and over and over.
Next up, we go to Palisade, Minnesota. Pete's with us, east of the Rockies. Pete, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
V? Hello?
Yeah, he's with
us. Yeah. I didn't know if you heard me. I'm way the heck up in northern Minnesota here, and we got a snowstorm going on. I have a supposition here that I'm aware that when you go to buy gold or invest in gold, you actually get a certificate most of the time that the gold is on deposit somewhere. And it's been rumored for quite some time, especially with silver, that there's some type of float scheme going on. There's more gold and silver contracts being sold than actually exist. Now, if this is an international type of scheme, what would I call it, a gold float scheme, a precious metals float scheme that transcends borders and these bankers are involved, what do you think about that scenario?
Well, what's happening is this. I mean, you're talking about futures contracts with gold and silver ETFs, and even those people who want to, you know, buy gold and hold it in a vault, have it vaulted somewhere in some sort of depository. The thing is this, folks. There's an old saying, and I think my buddy Steve Quayle he coined that term. He said, "If you don't own it, you don't. If you don't possess it, you don't own it."
That's right.
And it's true. You don't have physical ownership of it. It's not there. You don't have it. Look, here's the thing. I know of vaults where people think, and they have a certificate of deposit, and they think that, you know, that their gold is safe in that vault. Well, I know for a fact that those accounts are not segregated, and that gold is gone, okay? And you see this fraud everywhere. There's a lot more, you know, this is how the manipulations and shorts happen within the gold and silver market. There's contracts out there for about 750 million ounces of silver in one vault. But that vault only has 3 million ounces of silver in it. So they have a greatly leveraged, contract structure. So you look at that, and you can see this manipulation happening everywhere with gold and silver. And again, this is predominantly a Western phenomenon, because in the East, they don't have that obsession with paper that we find over here with us. They're into hard assets. I mean, you look at the Chinese ravenously buying gold. Nobody talks about the Indians. People don't realize that the Indians themselves, we're talking about the Indian populace, not the government. But the population of India has about 30,000 metric tons of gold that they've hoarded throughout the generations. So they have an appetite for hard assets, whereas we're obsessed in the West with paper, and that's the problem.
At what point does the mainstream start picking up this story about the bankers? Because right now it's just us and some internet-based shows and you, and that's about it.
Probably never, George. What's happening is, you know what's happening with these mainstream guys. You got, four or five media companies that run the Hilt, and the majority of these mainstream news outlets, they're going to toe the party line. They're not going to, bite the hand that feeds them. I mean, you look at how so many politicians get away with murder. These are just politicians. I mean, imagine. The fraud that these politicians are doing. Imagine what these banksters are doing. The fraud is exponentially much bigger, number one. And number two, the average American doesn't really understand banking, doesn't really understand the market, to be honest with you. They're mystified by it. And unless, Americans really begin to really get a grasp on financial education and understand how this truly affects them, I don't see the mainstream media running with it at all.
No. I agree with you. Not for a long, long time. We got 100 bankers, maybe. Let's go to Randall, truck driving in Missouri. Randall, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Randall.
Well, I'm glad you're optimistic, George, because at times I get so frustrated that I need a little optimism in my life. As far as I'm concerned, this isn't about dead bankers at all. This is about, China and Russia calling the bluff of the Western banking Ponzi scheme. But personal opinion here is that we don't want to be under the boot of the Chinese. Nobody should ever be under the boot of the Chinese. The benevolence of the Western world is a lot better than the bad side of the Western world. We get under the boot of China, you have never seen bigotry more so than the Chinese national that's in power. Because China views the world as they are the middle kingdom, and anybody below them, because there is nobody above, is that we're nothing better than a guaylo standing on two legs barking like a dog. And we don't want to be underneath them. So if we don't have this situation that this man keeps telling you about, you hear about the banker, you pull open the page, you see the real story behind it. And he keeps telling us this. He's been on your show before. And I get the impression that every time he comes on, you leave this thing with only the side story instead of the real story, George. The real story is the destruction of a Western way of life. That's the real story. And if we don't have some gonads and go down fighting, we're going to be subjugated to this deal.
This is like a slow steaming of a frog in a cooker.
You got that 100%, buddy. And the public is dumb. The public is mystified by this, and they don't see it.
That's exactly right. V, it's like cooking a frog. And you just cook the thing, it won't jump
up. And once this country wakes up and returns back to the Constitution and returns back to sound money and sound banking, like I said before, you know, it's going to be us making Nike tennis shoes at a Chinese sweatshop in Detroit and or in Pittsburgh or in Ohio. That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, unless we wake up and take this country back and take back our industries and rein in these guys and put these guys in jail. I mean, it's got to be done. I mean, we reinstate Glass-Steagall. That'll end a lot of this nonsense and chicanery. Enforce the Logan Act. That puts an end to a lot of other things as well. I mean, just doing those two things will do incredible amounts of damage to what these guys are doing.
Let's go next to Ann in Hamilton, Canada. See if we can get you in here, Ann, real fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's an NSA whistleblower who said that J.P. Morgan was laundering money for foreign terrorist groups and organized crime. And I would guess that once they break the backbone of America, they'll systematically do it to every country. So you have organized cartels all around the world controlling the planet. And they're not going to let you make the Nike boots. They're going to systematically annihilate you through plague, poverty, weapons that they have nobody knows about. I'd say this is the beginning of the depopulation agenda, if you ask me. And then they have a small group of slaves, and these organized criminal groups will be the global elite.
Well, I agree with that, too. Almost out of time here, V. Give us your words of wisdom.
My words of wisdom is this. Anybody that needs help, you know, you can reach out to me, roguemoney.net, also gorillaeconomist@gmail.com. Anything you need from, you know, you need to get into hard assets, I'll show you how. You need metals, you know, email me, put metals in the caption. You need to get your credit fixed, okay, and getting your credit clean. So, you know, I have at my disposal, you know, people that work in Wall Street that are within the system that can help you with these things, okay? Reach out and contact me, you know, join up at roguemoney.net. You know, get a front row seat as to what's really going on, especially in the financial world.
You got it.
The most important advice I can give anybody, get out of the paper. Keep in the bank what you need to pay your bills. Everything else, put it in gold, put it in silver, put it in hard assets, and sit tight. You know, get your spiritual lives in order, get your financial lives in order, and brace yourself.
And hide it. And hide it. Next up, Dr. Doom joins us, Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM.